There we are.
Ta-da! We appeared from the darkness into the light.
It's a good thing nobody was watching. They missed. They didn't get to see the fupa, the little fupa that I had there. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you.
Are you?
Yes.
I love your hair.
Why, thank you.
I love when that you do the straightening thing. I try to do the same thing with mine.
Mm-hmm.
Just more falls out. Than
No.
Hey, my friends, it's been a few days since we've been here. Understand that we are working on a lot of stuff and
no excuses.
Yeah. But we just we have to get our stuff together. We have to get our act together. And then I look over at the area over there and go, OK, we got to get that done today. And I got to get computers fixed and things. So we're going to get that done. No excuses. I do want to tell you how much I love you.
Oh, thank you. I love you too.
Because the not the vacuum. What's there's another word I'm looking for. The space between the devotionals because of stuff going on with kids and things like that. We've just been busy. The devotionals are by me are hugely missed. Like it had become a part of my life.
Me too.
It's like I'm walking around without any clothes on.
Aw, the emperor has no clothes?
Yes, and it's not, you know, I've always said in the very beginning, I said I do these devotionals live and share with people and say them out loud for selfish reasons because it helps me.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad that people watch, but it really does help me. And it's when we don't do them, it's there's a little bit of void. That's the word I was looking
yes,
for.
Yes, the
a void.
Great void.
The great void occurs. So it's a lesson. This is a lesson to you guys. Always do your devotionals, or always just open up the Bible. I do love the other aspect that many parents that are that are deep in the Word of God talk about that it's important for your kids to see you on a daily basis in the Word of God. Whether it's at the kitchen table or together, you know, going through a devotional, what have you. So all those things happen when you're not doing it on a regular basis. Go to livingfearlessdevotional.com. That's where you'll find our Apple podcast. That's the audio version of what we're doing today. If you go there, you can subscribe and then it'll notify you if you happen to miss the devotional. Because like us, you may have a busy day and things might happen. We have Danielle on. And,
hi, Danielle.
And she too misses our time together.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. We'll get back. We're bringing it back. We're going to bring it back. I want to do something different. I'm going to change it up on you. I'm so sorry, my love. But I think I'm going to say that I feel like this is necessary today.
Okay.
I want to read the reference first and then the devotional.
Okay.
And so I'm going to bring it up on the screen so everybody else can see it. If I can.
2 click. Corinthians or 1 John?
Oh, should we do that one first?
I don't know. Which one you?
Yeah, we'll do that one first because it's shorter. So I probably didn't need to bring that one up on screen, but it's okay. So second Corinthians, as you say, 2 Corinthians?
Yes. 2 Corinthians 6:2, yeah. 2 Corinthians 6:2.
Yeah. I want to do it right. It says, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Can you translate?
Oh, the whole devotional is about that.
Oh, all right.
So I think we should read the devotional for that one.
1
John.
Okay, 1 John.
1 John is less described, but this is the day of salvation, about the constant evolution of our salvation is with this thing.
Yeah, that's the one I was reading when I thought, you know what, I feel like I should read that. We should read this first to everyone. So we have got a lot of clicking going on here. All right, so the incarnation. Oh, where'd it go? How did I lose it?
I think it's all the clicking.
I lose it. There we go.
In the world.
I know. Somehow I dragged the tab off of the Chrome. There we go. The incarnation of the Word of Life.
Am I doing the Bible or you doing?
Oh, yeah. You can do the Bible. Yes. Do the Bible.
You do the devotional reading.
Okay. The Bible, all right. Let's do it.
The incarnation of the Word of Life. 1 John 1. that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we don't live out our truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. Nice. Ding.
There we go.
We're back.
Wow. Well, I don't want to make him out to be a liar.
No.
That's for sure.
Well, all right. We know we're sinners, so that part's easy for us.
Yes. All right, so now we're going to, oops, I'm sorry. We have to do this. We have more windows than we're used to having here. There we go. And then it pops down, and then we have to do this. Oops. All right, so now we'll read from Wigglesworth. If you don't know and you haven't seen us in a while, we've transitioned from My Utmost Far as Highest to Wigglesworth. What's his first name?
Smith.
Smith Wigglesworth Devotional. That's the title of the devotional. And so that's what we're reading from today for July. Oops. July 30th. Constant salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There are two processes of salvation. First, God helped you when the Spirit was moving you and when the adversary was against you, when your neighbors and friends did not want you to be saved, and when everybody rose up in accusation against you. When you knew there was fighting on the outside and fighting within, he helped you. He covered you until you came into salvation. Second, he keeps you in the plan of his salvation. This is the day of salvation. The fact that you are being saved does not mean that you were not saved, but it means that you are being continually changed. In the process of regeneration, you are being made like God. You are being brought into the operation of the Spirit's power, and you are being made like him. This is the day of salvation. God has helped you in a time when Satan would destroy you, and he is with you now. If we remain stationary, God has nothing for us. We must see that we must progress. Yesterday will not do for today. I must thank God for yesterday. However, tomorrow is affected by what I am today. Today is a day of inspiration and divine intuition, a day in which God is enrapturing the heart, breaking all shorelines, getting my heart to the place where it is responsive only to his cry, where I live and move honoring and glorifying God in the Spirit. This is the day of the visitation of the Lord. This is the great day of salvation, a day of moving on for God. We will praise and magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. He has helped us, and now he is building us. Now he is changing us. Now we are in the operation of the Holy Spirit. Every day you must climb to higher ground. You must refuse everything that is not pure and holy and separate. God wants you to be pure in heart. He wants your intense desire after holiness. The thought for the day, you must deny yourself in order to go forward with God. Such a powerful devotional. And it reminds me of the article that you wrote.
Oh, how so?
Just that when Mike Pompeo, Hedia writes for the Christian Post, an op-ed every couple weeks.
Yes. Right?
Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, came to our church, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, with Jack Hibbs, and spoke and yes. was the pastor for the day.
Yes.
And the things he talked about, and one of the most important things in what your article touched on, was that he put his faith out front on everything that he did.
Absolutely.
He didn't hesitate. He didn't shy away from it. He wasn't afraid to go into a Muslim country and say, I am an evangelical Christian.
Yes.
And then began a speech.
I love it.
So it was like the first thing. And so the devotional reminded me of that, because it seems to me that it's saying, hey, I've prepared you. I've done all these things. Now go out and share the gospel. Amen. Even to people that are, essentially our enemies.
Yes.
And then hate us in some cases.
Yes.
Maybe not the people that are, probably people in the audience that hated him.
Oh, for sure.
And hated the fact that he was a Christian. But
you mean when he was serving or at church?
No, not at church.
But oh, yeah. And so a lot of people in the audience hated him, for sure.
And then your article talks about the things that you've done. I mean, you at the time that you were in the State Department, you were still in Islam.
Still Muslim.
Yeah, Muslim. That made that transition. But you had in the faith you were in, you had the same thing, but it was Americans that hated you.
Yes.
And didn't trust you, I'm guessing,
all
especially when you wore your hair covering that. But as you come into Christianity, that training as a Muslim of being tough and being able to put up and
yes.
push through, regardless of what people were saying about you behind your back or maybe to your face,
to my face.
That you continue on. So that training that God put you through as a Muslim, because he allowed it to happen, he allowed you to be in that faith. I think speaks to all that, your article, who you are and who Mike Pompeo is. And that's what I got out of this devotion.
Wow. That's awesome.
How does that?
I love it.
I know, just in the very short 15 minutes that we've been in the devotional, I see there's like flashes. Of, oh my gosh, that reminds me of that. This reminds me of this. Oh, Hedy, the faith it must take to be able to be a Muslim in the State Department.
Or the FBI, right?
The FBI, and then coming into Christianity, and people go, "Why? Wait a minute. What? I saw you standing there with that, is it called a cleric? Or what
yeah.
do you call it? Yeah, standing there next to him with your head covering.
Yep.
And now you're doing what? And I can imagine the hatred from that side now, in addition to some of the hatred you get, and I call it hatred, but just, you know.
Disdain.
And yet we carry on and move forward because God has prepared us. He's put us in this position to do this.
Amen.
But I applaud you for all of that. And especially the article. I think that people need to read what happened in the White House with Obama and all the other stuff that's going on.
Thank you.
I've gone on long enough. What's the devotional say to you?
This idea, because if you heard me a lot, I've said, that salvation happens in an instant, but our transformation takes time.
Mm-hmm.
But what Wigglesworth is teaching us in the scripture was that the salvation happens in an instant, but salvation, the concept of salvation to Corinthians is an evolution.
Mm-hmm.
So the transformational process of becoming more like Christ is a lifetime.
Hmm.
But he's using the word from he's using the word salvation, which is interesting to me. Sorry, my thoughts aren't that clear because I'm mulling this over. I'm meditating over the notion that this scripture, behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. And Wigglesworth saying, now is the day of salvation, is happening every day in your life.
Mm.
Is a fascinating thought. And this is what I'm going to tell you why, because I've had this explained several times to me, but so bear with me, folks. It's hard to wrap our minds around, and I can't articulate it very well, but I'm going to try because of this scripture. So there in God's timing, God's universe, there is no time, past, present, future. Doesn't exist. It's all present.
Mm.
So nothing is lost. There is no energy created that's ever lost. And there is no past, present, future. It's all current. It's all existence as it is. So the day of salvation, as he's describing it here, is analogous to that divine notion of no time, which is that salvation is occurring in every instant, in every second. You're constantly evolving, constantly becoming more like Christ, constantly living out your salvation. Mm. And that's why I believe he took us to 1 John 1. Because 1 John 1, he's teaching us that was that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we saw. So this is their testimony about having been with Jesus. The life that appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. So meaning he was in heaven with the Father, came down and appeared, and this is a life eternal. So it's not he lived back there, came here and lived a different life, and then died and goes back and lived a different. It's all one life.
Oh, wow.
It's eternal. It's ever existing. It's always present. And so it's, I'm sorry if I'm not articulating that well, but I'm trying.
I got it. If I can get it, I'm pretty sure.
But I just think that Wigglesworth is trying to draw our attention to that this is, you know, if you think about it in divine terms, he knew us since before we were created in our mother's womb. The hairs of our head are numbered. Mm-hmm. Our days have been laid out. The plan is already known. God has existed from all time. Our salvation is happening continuously because there is no notion of time. It's putting us in touch with the alternative reality of God, which is juxtaposed to this earthly reality that will disappear.
Wow.
Sorry if that was all.
No. Having a... No, it's definitely helpful because sometimes, and I may not be on base or not, but it feels like these are all separate things in my life. Yeah. Like there's me, there's you, there's us, there's God. Like all these things, but
yeah.
It's I'm thinking the way that you're describing that it's all one. And I know, and I, you just reminded me of how I know that this is true in just a recent incident with. So I took my kids to this place called Defy. It's a trampoline place, and it's not cheap to take three kids. You know, when you have six kids and you all go out together, it's not.
Yeah, every day my daughter's like, let's go out to eat. And I'm like, honey, seven people eating and two people eating is quite a different experience. Yeah. She's like, oh, right.
And so, you know, so money is a thing. You know, you're just thinking, God, you know, what am I, you know, is this something I should be spending money on? Well, it's summer and I didn't question it. It's just you are aware of the cost. So I need to preface that because that's an important aspect of what I'm about to tell you. And please comment. I haven't hit the comment thing. We need you guys to comment. Let us know what you're thinking, how any of this applies to you. And if, you know, if there's something else you want to add or a story, feel free to type it in there. We would appreciate it if you type it in there. So you go there, you get your credit card out and you make sure they have all their socks and you guys, is there any coupons or deals right here? You're thinking about this whole thing. So the kids go out, right? They get their socks on, they go out, they start jumping around. It wasn't too long that my son, Bo, he's seven, he was at a zip line and I see him pulling on the thing and I'm thinking he's going to get on and go down the zip line. Well, he pulls it down and then he grabs onto it and the kid next to him, he pushes it over towards the kid so the kid can get on. And the kid, who was another like 5-year-old or 6-year-old or something like that, he goes down and then I see Bo, he starts pulling it back up again. And then the next kid, the little girl comes up and he pulls it over so she can get it and then he goes down. And I'm watching this and I'm thinking, you know, what the heck? And I think, how long is he going to do this for? When are you going to go down? Like, I paid for you to go down this start darn thing. You know, it's enough with the helping the kids. And so I walk by once. I go, Bo, why don't you go down and have some fun? He goes, oh, I'm just helping some of the kids. And you know, there was a moment where I'm thinking, you know, almost out loud thinking, I didn't pay this money for you to help other kids have fun. I paid the money for you to have fun. Use the facility. Oh. And I went and sat down and I thought, he can't continue this very long. And I'm sitting there and it goes on for like a half an hour. And mind you, I paid for an hour and a half.
Right.
And he's used it all this time up. So this does have a point. So how I know what you said is true is because there was this supernatural thing that began. It was almost like the Grinch Just Stole Christmas movie, the cartoon, where you see the transition of space from being an angry, like, what the hell, you know, they're still having fun. I took all their Christmas trees and their present. And then all of a sudden,
that was a great transition, by the way.
And then all of a sudden he realizes, and I realize, wait a minute, this is clearly what God wants. Like all of a sudden, yeah, you know, the Holy Spirit's like starts working in me and thinking, no, this is an awesome moment. It's a moment,
yeah,
where Bo is learning to give service,
absolutely,
and not for, and he didn't ask for anything. He wasn't holding out his hand and say, give me 50 cents.
No.
Right? It was just service to all these kids. He goes, they just need help. They can't reach it. But it was more for me to like, all right, dude, just calm down. This right? is a great time for you to see
how
your
many
children
moments,
giving service.
And how many moments in our lives do we miss?
That's like what was that? My next point. Right. Like that never in my past would have hit me as right. anything. Like I would just sort of been angry. Like, hey, dude, stop now. Get down. You know my voice.
Yes.
That's what I would have done.
My cop voice.
I was, hey. Get down. You go out and have fun and enjoy yourself right now. And then you would have got those tears.
Yeah, the quivering lip.
But what? But it's so awesome that this feeling, it feels so right. Right? It feels so, it's so much better. Again, it went on for about a half hour, maybe 40 minutes, and he started went out and had fun. But I think how he felt when he walked around, he felt so good. And he thought he had a great time.
Exactly.
I said, maybe they'll hire you. Maybe they saw you. I mean, that was, you know, I'll send the video later on and said, you know, this is, you know, there's a video of my son when he was seven. But he deserves work here.
But see, that's the thing. We want to turn it into some material compensation. We want to just leave it at service.
I shouldn't have said anything to him because I think at one point he says, do you think they would have paid me?
Oh, my goodness. Right?
Oh, that flesh always seeps in.
Right.
So, you know, you see what I'm saying, though? Absolutely. It was just like, it held back my normal response would be to say, stop doing that. Go and do something else. But that didn't, it was all in here. It was all in my head and in my heart. It was the first response. And then the Holy Spirit kind of like coming over that demonic thought.
Right.
And throwing it away and saying, listen, here's how you need to look at this.
Oh, God.
And it's so different.
So grateful for all the times he does that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like you said, the next thing is how many times have I
missed
that and jumped too quickly in my flesh, but the moment was allowed to kind of progress. So
that's lovely.
Yeah. So that's what I got out of what you were saying, that it just clicked in my head. That's one of those times where working together with the Holy Spirit is such a better outcome.
And that working, him working in us and us working together and abiding in all of us. And we've read that time and time again in Oswald's devotionals, the scripture about if the Lord says, you abide in me and I abide in you, and the Father abides in you and we abide in him, and we're all vines on a branch and he is the vine and we are the branches. And you know what I mean? He's constantly trying to put forward the theme of unity, not only in the body of Christ, but that each and every one of us are in the body of Christ. And then you'll see everything in the universe in perfect alignment within the body of Christ.
Wow.
It's deep.
And that was so sweet. He was working for the place. Yeah. I did say that to him. He goes, that's when he said, do you think they'll pay me? I said, no.
Oh, my God. No, but you could see on his face that was not his concern at all. When he's pulling those things, he just wanted to help the other kids.
Mm.
Like, he really had this sense of service. He just wanted, and I was telling you, like, just like for adults, Danielle knows this very well, is that we feel good from service, you know? And that's, I think, why the Lord's constantly pushing us towards being of service and evangelizing and witnessing and being of service in our church, because it blesses us. And it's just so adorable that a 7-year-old could feel that too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so grateful that God stepped in.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yeah. For the times God steps in. Nearly everyday occurrence for me. God's like, daughter, maybe not today.
Oh my gosh. So just on another note, your article on Afghanistan that you did, it was the last one, the one before this.
Yes.
Got a lot of notice.
Oh, I'm still doing radio interviews for that one.
How many radio interviews have you had based on
I've had 7 so far, and I've got like 3 more next week.
Wow, 10. Yeah, and I told you when I read it, I said, this is going to get noticed. And it was the one that had probably the least amount of comments on it.
Yeah.
And you were kind of upset that you didn't put enough biblical references in there.
I didn't put any.
And, but I said, no, I said, this is going to get people's attention. And sure enough, 10 radio interviews.
Yeah. Everybody. And I understand it, that the Christian world, the Christian radio world, at least, doesn't have a lot of people. They probably have a lot of people who served in some capacity or another, but that aren't well-versed in, that used to be Muslim, that are well-versed in Middle Eastern countries. I think that's what was most fascinating to them.
And I thought it was interesting how you started the article, that you, your plan was, after your service to the country, was to relax and do nothing.
That's the start of this article. Yeah. Yes.
the newest, yeah, the most recent article.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just going to do nothing.
Yeah.
And then God says,
nice try, daughter.
Get off the couch. Let's go. We got stuff to do. Danielle says, but.
Oh, let me know when you're doing an interview. I want to hear. Oh, you're so sweet.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
I'm usually pretty good about posting those. But now you're doing so many.
Yeah. And actually, I can't tell you for sure how the radio thing works, because sometimes they say it's live, sometimes it says it's recorded. So I actually don't know when it's going to be on. And the only time I have found some of them is I Google my name. Mm. And then I see some of them come up, some of the old ones.
Are any of them live on the radio, or are they podcast?
All of them are radio. So either they're live on the radio, or they're played on a later segment.
Oh. I wonder if they're ever on The Fish.
I don't know. They tell me the name of the station. Oh, KKLA or KKWC in Austin, Texas. But I don't know how to go back and find them later.
We should try to.
Podcasting world's a little complicated. I don't really get it. I tried to start keeping a list, but now there's so many I couldn't keep the list anymore.
Well, you need to go back to that.
I do.
I think it's important for later stuff.
Yeah.
When people ask, so have you done this before? No. Once or twice. I like when I get on the stand and the expert witness thing, and they said, have you ever testified before? Did you see my resume? It's like 8 pages long. But I think it's important to put that into some type of Excel spreadsheet, just to have that information.
I think it's good for us too.
Yeah.
We want to promote media stuff, outreach.
Gosh darn it. I had a thought on my little tiny pea brain, and now it just went away. It fell off the pea. I wanted to talk a little bit more about Mike Pompeo's visit to the church. As a human being, a Christian human being, I thought that was important, because we mostly, at least in my world, I saw him usually at the lectern and in some press conference with some dignitary, you know, and I liked him then. I liked what his policies and the things that he supported, and he loved the administration and loved working for the administration. But seeing him speak in a church environment and what he had to say, man, just completely transformed. It didn't have to change from a bad thought about him. It went from a good thought to, oh my gosh, this guy needs to be back in government.
Right.
Our country needs him.
Yes.
As somebody like him that puts God first in all the policies. What was your thoughts on him being there.
He was just amazing. And I was in government for so long. And something I wrote about even when I was a Muslim is the secular nature of the State Department and the US government. Mm-hmm. Not that they weren't secular nature, meaning for the most part, there are many atheists. So when they don't understand the impact of religion in their own lives, then they sorely lack the ability to understand it for foreign policy or national policy purposes. We're seeing that now with the Biden administration.
Right.
When you don't have a reverence for God and his commandments and the scripture and all these other issues, then I'm not talking about people who go to church on Sunday. I'm talking about people who have a true reverence for what the Lord has commanded for mankind. Because if you have a true reverence and fear, you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling, there's no way you could support abortion. There's no way you could support same-sex marriages. You know what I mean? So what I loved is Mike Pompeo describing what it looks like to be a Christian, which I have never seen. Because I had worked for many Christians. I had never seen their faith on display ever in the US government. And I loved seeing that the way he describes it could play out. And I quite frankly, I'd never seen that play out in Washington. The only other person I had ever seen pray was Mike Pence.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He prayed all the time.
Oh. I saw a lot of people praying over President Trump. A lot. People would come in and lay hands.
But those were preachers and pastors that came in. But I'm talking about through the administration, in their official capacity. Never. It never happened. Because everybody had this understanding that the First Amendment and the Establishment Clause prohibited government from mentioning their faith. It doesn't. It prohibits them from establishing.
I love that from your article too, pointing that out.
Yeah, I mean, people just mistake that all the time on purpose, though.
The thing that's interesting that I realize now more than ever before, even before when I was what I always call agnostic between my Catholic, you know, time and then my Christian time, there was this another void where I was going, and I wasn't sure what I was. That atheists and people of other, you know, cults and things like that, whatever you believe in some like the trees or your gods or whatever that is, you have to understand how important it is to have God in our government, to have philosophical policies that are biblically based.
Absolutely.
For a country like ours, that's just so diverse in so many ways, more than any other country on the planet. Like if you go to other countries on the planet, some of the things that we have here, you would be executed for your thought or what you wear or what you do.
Absolutely. Right?
So here in the United States, we have it's a whole mix of things, but they still have to understand how important it is to have the biblical references and God as part of our government and part of our policy decisions, because it's the only way that you're going to have a moral government. You're going to have a government that runs based on what is right and what is wrong, on truth and what is lies, clearly defined. You can't have a government that does that.
Absolutely.
That does it another way.
And as Pompeo said, that we want to behave as Christians so that everybody knows Christians want good things for people, no matter who they are, that all are made in the image of God.
Yep.
We don't have any concept of compulsion in religion, of forcing people to be something that's not in our hands. It's just not our way.
Yeah. Just a clear definition of what is right and what is wrong. Law and order, you know, are so important. You have a number of people that have come in this newest administration who merely decided that, you know, we're not going to do that only because it looks like it's God-based. And so they want to take it out. It's clearly what they've done. And if you were to say it as Trump policies, many of Trump policies are biblically based policies. That's why so many Christians like Trump.
Sure.
We're not saying we liked him as a man and what he's done in his past and his checkered past, whatever that is, but the policies that he was supporting along with Mike Pompeo and Mike Pence were based on what is right, what is wrong, law and order, peace in the Middle East, taking care of Israel. All these things were so important. And we saw how it affected the world on a positive way. Strength through military.
Yep.
As another thing, once the United States is weakened by, well, we have to get rid of all these policies because they're either, you know, biblically based or Christian based or Trump based, we could see the chaos. We see it at the border. We can see that suddenly now there's all this unrest in the Middle East that we just about had a handle on. You know, you're never going to have it completely, but it was way better than it was.
And it's the strength of the leader, because I don't think they count how many jets we have at one point or another.
No.
I think it's what they see, the character they see in the one who's ruling.
Right. So all of this is so important to our country. This devotional is important to our country.
I'd also like to call people's attention to the fact that if you read the scripture and from the Old Testament forward, God punishes societies that don't follow him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and so when we look back, we've got to be afraid of a God who insists on righteousness. Mm-hmm. You know, he may leave us for a while, but a whole nation, because he says he will judge the nations, is a whole nation engrossed in sin? That's Sodom and Gomorrah. That's Lot's time. You know what I mean? He has destroyed people for less and civilizations. And we should be concerned about that. Believing Christians should be concerned about that.
Yes, we should be concerned about China now going into Afghanistan and becoming buddy-buddy with...
They've been doing that for a long time,
but now
too.
Now it's with us out there. We're not there. I mean, we have a few people still there, but it's... What are they saying? What's the saying? It's the wolf guarding the chickens? Was that?
Yeah. it's just the same as China's influence in Iran. Like, they have a tremendous influence in Iran because of the lack of relationship with the U.S. And so now they're just developing the same, they'll end up developing the same thing with Afghanistan.
And we know there's big Christian movements in Afghanistan and China, that kind of stuff. But for the most part, China, do you know, is it an atheist?
Or Confucius. Yes, Confucius. For the most part, atheist, though. They're not supportive of religious freedom for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's either atheism or Confucius.
Confucius. Fox guarding the hen out. That's what I was looking for.
Would you say wolf?
Wolf, whatever. I mean, I bet it's just as bad.
Just as bad. I don't know the difference between a wolf and a fox.
I had a German shepherd that killed our chickens. He loved chasing those chickens down.
Were they little chicks?
No, they're big chick. No, big chicken. He had came out with a big chicken in his mouth. One of my favorite chicken.
Oh.
Yeah, in his mouth. And he's wagging his tail. Look at it.
And he was dead already?
No.
You couldn't save the chicken?
I had to euthanize the chicken. I won't tell you how I did it, but.
Why couldn't you just let the dog finish eating him?
No.
No? I mean, he's already, no? I don't understand why we eat chickens all the time. Because you called him Fred and he's less appetizing, or?
Understand, dogs don't like. This is, again, we're getting back into the dog training. Dogs don't necessarily are trying to kill the thing that they capture. Like a fox or a coyote, they're killing it and then they eat it.
Oh, yeah.
Dogs typically have dog food, right? They get fed every day. They chase and they bite, not necessarily to kill. It's just they can't help themselves but bite down. And they kind of get upset when it dies.
Oh.
And so the chicken was still alive but way injured. I mean, it was not going to recover.
Oh.
They put it down and they wanted to run again because it was the chase and the capture, not the – they're not biting it.
Oh, it's kind of like men and women. They don't want you to actually roll over. They want you to keep running.
Is that why I got to chase you around the house every so often?
Yeah, you know. Don't stop running.
Wow.
It's part of the chase.
Yeah.
Predators.
Yeah, you'll see it all the time. You'll see dogs catch cats. And then, you know, they bite, especially German Shepherds and like other large breed dogs. Their jaws are so strong that they end up hurting them. And then they set them down and they go and they kind of like they paw at it because they go, come on, what what happened? We were just having fun. And the chicken, I can't run. The fox is tricky. Go ahead and read that.
He looks cute, but he wants to steal them. With a wolf, you kind of know what you're getting unless he's dressed in sheep's clothing.
That's good. Thank you, Danielle. That's awesome. All right. Well, that was a good discussion out of Wigglesworth. I really, like I said before, I'm really kind of happy with Wiggles.
Wiggles. Our friend Wiggles.
Our friend Wiggles. Smith. What kind of first name is Smith?
I don't know. I think we need to do a little bio investigation.
Of Smith. Yeah, I'll have to look him up. I went to his website and they have, he was all over the place. And again, really? You look at the time and so is Oswald Chambers, is that you,
missionaries.
Is, you know, that time in our history, there was no airline flights from, you know, Egypt to wherever. They were having to take ships. Because it was 1800s,
right?
That they were living. Like you have to take a ship, and then a camel, and then and then a horse-drawn buggy. You know, like that's their trap. And you look at Wigglesworth.
How about Paul? He had to go on foot and drown 3 times in a boat. A buoy, not a ship.
Those are some good stories of him in the ship, and he was handcuffed and shackled. Which is the same thing. He was shackled in the bowel of the ship, and he was telling them, "Hey, listen, what you need to do." And the captain's going, "Who are you? You're a prisoner. You don't tell us." And the men and the Ben are going, "No, we follow the captain." And then the captain makes another bad decision, and another bad decision, and pretty soon the men on the ship go, "All right, Paul,
I'll talk to that guy in the head, shackled down there."
What do you think we should do? And they start following him. Even the captain goes, "All right, Paul, what do you think?" And then they throw overboard all the heavy stuff because they had to lessen the weight in the boat in order to survive the storm that was coming. And they decided to listen to Paul, and that saved their lives.
I love it.
But that's a really good story. All right, anything else from for Wiggles in our audience of one?
No.
Danielle, thank you so much for commenting.
Thank you.
I see other people are watching, but they're just not commenting. But let us know if you're watching the replay. It would be great if you would comment just to say hi. And then if you have any thoughts on any of the stuff we discussed, thoughts on whether God should be in our government or our schools, and what your thoughts are. That's
faith in the public square.
Yes, we can see that God definitely is trying to be, they're trying to push God out of our schools. We attended a school board meeting and some of the shenanigans that are going on, just the craziness that is nobody's, definitely in that case, it's the fox guarding the hen house in our schools. There's nobody watching over what our children are being taught. Thank God for some of the school board members that we have. That are actually looking and going, I looked at this. You guys know what this is going on? Most people don't know what's going on in our schools. So definitely start local. Go to your school board meetings and start to pay attention. Put some pressure on them. They don't respond to emails, by the way. I sent emails out.
They don't respond to emails from us. But you heard the other lady say, "Thank you for your email." Oh, yeah. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Really, some people do respond to.
Yeah, nothing for me. I don't know. Could you tell how they look at me when I go in there? Because they all see what I'm doing. They all see the show.
Videotaping?
No. When I walk in, Del Sasser, the Sasser, whatever.
Oh, because of the videotaping, because of the show.
Because of the show, because of my emails, on my emails, it's my picture. Not the picture from 20 years ago. It's the picture from today, so they recognize me.
Oh, good idea. Wait, you have your picture in the corner?
Yeah, it comes up. Yeah, in the email.
Oh, but if they have Gmail.
Yeah. And I think they probably all do. But anyway, I've been there before. I'm sure that the videos get shared because I always hashtag them. And I tag.
Nice.
Yeah. But they look at me and they kind of give me the evil eye when I walk in.
The stink eye?
Yeah. They go, "Oh, here he is. He's going to tell us, everybody, what's going on here."
Nice.
We don't want people. We liked it better when nobody came to school board meetings.
Right? my God. So it reminds me of, you remember recently in the whole COVID and the surplus, the legislation, how the president vetoed it and Congress are fighting it. It's because anytime you pass something, there's a whole bunch of fat in it where they just keep sticking. That's how you negotiate in government, is you stick things in there that other people want And then you end up resolving it. So suddenly a stimulus package is all about starving kids in Nigeria that we want to earmark for some NGO to give them $100 billion. So it's so absolutely corrupt sometimes. And this, their consent calendar was exactly that. Yeah. Is a whole bunch of contracts. God knows nobody ever read any of them. Nobody ever paid attention to them. And they're like, okay, well, we take all 52 items and we consent as a group.
Yes.
We don't literally vote on each one. We say yay to all 52. And if there's anyone in particular you don't want to say yay to, then we can call that one out individually.
And but thank God,
Leandra. Leandra. So our friend Leandra was like, I'd like to call some out, please. And she's like, 13, 26, 34, 42. I laughed my head off. It was hysterical. And they're all looking at her like, what are you doing? We don't actually read these. What are you talking about?
We want people to hear what it is we're doing.
Yes. I mean, really, really, I'm telling you, go to a local school board meeting. It is so enlightening. Mm-hmm. And then to hear one of the superintendent, whatever, assistant superintendent be like, oh no, that's a great program. We've been using it for a decade. They're great partners with us. And literally she just would chain you synonyms and said the exact same thing 10 times about every one of these 50,000, 90,000, 60,000 contracts.
Yeah, one of them's it was this $56,000 we pay for this online training program, which the kids go on, I think is a daily or twice a week or something like that. I can't remember what you said.
Yeah, one of those.
But I go on and all I had to do was a search on their site. And one of the first things is Black Lives Matter needs to be taught in our schools.
Yeah. But the interesting thing about the Newsy one is that it's actually not for the kids to log on. Mm-hmm. I think it's for the teachers to log on to make lesson plans for the mm-hmm. kids. So we even pay $60,000-$70,000 to teach, to create, to have portals for our teachers to learn to teach things.
But also kids could log on. And what that one does is it takes an article on Black Lives Matter, for instance, uh-huh. and it writes it for a sixth grader to be able to read it in their grammar that they can understand. And then if there's a fourth grade, it takes the same article and puts it in fourth grade language and second grade language. So the information is the same. It's just they word it differently so that they can have the ability to read it. Yes. $56,000.
Yeah.
That we're paying for them to do that to our children. And then they voted for it to go through. Three, two, four to pay $56,000 for another 3 years of this program in our kids, in our schools. Craziness. So yeah. And that's not all. There's some sexual references, some other stuff that they brought up that apparently they think is okay to teach our kids.
Yeah.
But now we got to go. We got to bring God back into schools, our government,
absolutely.
Local government. All right.
Well, thank you Anything all else? For being with us.
You nope. want to go on another rant about something else?
Nope. Otherwise life will just be filled with rants. I just want to think about, I want to meditate today on this is the day of salvation. Every day and every minute is the
this
day
is
of
a
salvation.
Good devotional. Yeah. So spend your day thinking about this devotional. Where can they find it? Where can they find this particular devotional? Like buy the book, obviously.
I have the hard copy, which I love. So I don't know where this, let's see if it says it on the link.
Where it lives.
I just find, open source intelligence is my specialty. So I don't know where I find things.
Yeah.
But
we may have to find that for people. I don't like to tell people not to buy the book, to do it, and find it for free. I try to support the people.
Well, because I was thinking I could put it on my website, but then, it's a copyright infringement to post somebody's PDF. So,
yeah. So buy the book and then look for the free version so you can look at it on the computer or text us or something.
Ebook or the Kindle version. People can get the Kindle version.
But the name is Smith Wigglesworth Devotional is the name of the book.
Yes.
So go to that. All right, my friends. We love you guys. Thank you for watching. We appreciate you. God bless.
God bless. Have a great day.
Take care.